Our next storyteller is a self-described expert generalist, and I would like to learn more about a generalist, maybe an expert on generals or an expert on the general store, or it's hard to know, but I'm hoping we're going to hear more about that tonight. A writer, an adventurer who's been called both kind and a real jerk, sometimes by the same person. Now, in his defense, I happen to know he has at least one wonderful child named Jackie, who is a star in my math class. Way to go, good daddy. Okay, please welcome Tom Fassbender.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oddly enough, Jackie's also the star of this story. So we're going to go back. We're going to go back 9 years. When we get there, we go. Okay, thank you. We're going back 9 years to the waning days of 2014. That's right. It's New Year's Eve, and our family somehow found ourselves on the mean streets of Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam. And we were hungry, and we were tired. Now, we were tired because we had, that early that morning, we had just gotten off the train from Hanoi. And it was a long train ride. And when we booked this train, we kind of made a mistake. You know, you get the timetable, and the arrival time in Ho Chi Minh City had a +2 next to it. All right, we thought 2 hours. 2 hour time change, no problem. We've been traveling for a while, time changes, no sweat. 2 hours, no big deal. So, and I don't know exactly when we realized this. We booked this for a while, and I think it was probably the day we were going to get on the train. We kind of looked at the timetable, and we did a little bit of math, and we realized that +2 wasn't 2 hours. It was 2 days. And I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that we didn't really understand or fully comprehend Vietnam's unique geographic footprint. Like, it's not a big country, right? But size-wise, it fits kind of right between New Mexico and Germany. And now both of those countries are relatively square, and you can drive across either one of them the better part of a road trip day. But Vietnam, it's got this up near the top where it butts into China. It's got this kind of spiky ball, you know, it's got a very indistinct border. And then it's got this long tail that reaches down around, brushing up into the South China Sea to the west, and Cambodia and Laos to the east. It's nestled in there. Up at the top is Hanoi, North Vietnam. You go down the tail, the very bottom is Ho Chi Minh City, in South Vietnam. And connecting them is a train called the Reunification Express. And it runs for something over 1,000 miles. So, yeah, for 32 hours, we were on this train. And we had a inside of a metal box that was maybe 6 feet on a side. It was a long ride. And the Reunification Express does not lend itself to a very restful experience. Also, this is not, it's not a fancy train. It's not like the Orient Express or like a James Bond movie train where there's a dining car. No, there's no dining car. There was a person pushing a cart that would come by, knock on your door, and ask if you want dinner. Of course, we want dinner. We're hungry. So, you know, we say yes. We get a metal tray that's got a mysterious meat, some overly boiled green vegetable, and some very dried out rice. And it really wasn't that good. And so the second night, when this time it was a gentleman came around and asked, do you want dinner? I was like, well, yeah, well, just curious, what is dinner? And he didn't speak any English, and I don't speak any Vietnamese. So we resorted to sign language, and he did this. And I thought, oh, fish. And he said, ah, yes, fish. I'm like, great, go with that. So we get our meat, it wasn't fish. Now, I don't know if it looked a lot like chicken. Maybe chickens run like this, I guess they do. But it also could have been snake. It was just not a very appetizing meal. So by the time we ended up, 32 hours later, we hadn't eaten much, we hadn't slept much. And here it was, New Year's Eve. So we thought, you know what? We're going to treat ourselves. We're going to find a nice restaurant in Ho Chi Minh City. So we asked our host at our hotel where to go, and she recommended this place called The Secret Garden. It sounds pretty fancy. So we, you know, headed down Pasteur Street. The ghosts of French colonialism still haunt the streets of Vietnam. And we went up down this alley and up four flights of stairs to this rooftop restaurant, and it was really nice. It was a great dinner. It was, I think it cost us $75, which, considering that the average worker's salary at the time was $25 a day, like, it was pretty indulgent for us, for Vietnam, certainly, and for us traveling at the time. But we enjoyed it, felt indulgent, but we weren't done indulging yet, because we had made reservations for a place called Fanny's Ice Cream Parlor. It's a little weird that there's an ice cream parlor called Fanny's in Vietnam, but they offered a 14-scoop fondue platter, and I was looking forward to it. Being from Wisconsin, 14 scoops of ice cream, fantastic. So we got up from dinner, we went down to the street, and the city had completely changed in the, like, hour and a half that we'd been at dinner. We'd been in Hanoi for about a week before this, and, you know, if you've ever been to Vietnam, or if you've ever seen YouTube videos of people trying to cross the street, you know that the motorbike presence is dominant. Like, they just never stop. Like, to cross the street, you just have to walk, and they go around you. It's intimidating, so many motorbikes. The import tax on cars is something like 200%. So most people can't afford cars. So motorbikes, on the other hand, are bought and sold on walls of cafes and restaurants for $200. So pretty much everybody has a motorbike. The other thing that's interesting is Ho Chi Minh City, at the time, had a population of 8 million people in the city. Just, that's the city. That's not the whole country. It's the city. Wisconsin's population right now is like 6 million, less than 6 million. So 8 million people inside of the city, and it was New Year's Eve. And there was some special event happening, and every one of those 8 million people, with every one of their motorbikes, felt like they were down in the street. So we, from the restaurant, we had to go, like, down a road and across a park to get to Fanny's. So we negotiated, and we, you know, it took about 15 minutes for us to get to this place called the Benton Market, which was this kind of fancy market right across the street from this park. The 23rd September Park, the creatively named park that was named after the day that Ho Chi Minh stirred up the citizens of Vietnam to rebel against the French in 1945. And when we got there, the scene was maddening. Like, it was a parking lot. Like, it was motorbikes parked side by side across the street, all the way down the street. Like, there was no space to walk. It was people lounging on their motorbikes. They were all waiting for this concert and fireworks to start. And we had to get across that to get to Fanny's. And so when you're faced with something like that, you just got to dive in. So my wife took my older kid. I took my younger kid. And we found paths and wove our way through. We're walking through motorbikes like this. We're stepping over. We're going around. And this was that was challenging enough. But the other big problem we had was that my youngest child, who you know is Jackie, at the time she had very long blonde hair and big blue eyes. And she was super popular in Asia because of this. And we're going through this, and every time we'd go by somebody, they'd stroke her hair or kiss her on the head. And it got to the point that I was more worried about getting her through this mass of bikes, and I'm lifting her up and putting her on the other side. And at one point, she looked particularly distressed, and I stopped and checked in with her and said, "Were you okay?" "We're okay." "All right, we're almost done. Just a little bit more." And I took a step, and something was missing. My wallet was gone. And I stopped. Here I am. I look around, and it could have been anybody. This is the first time in my life I've been pickpocketed, and I was annoyed. But I also had to kind of admire the skill with which it was done. It was pretty impressive. But, you know, there was nothing else to do. I couldn't, like, there was nobody to talk to. There was nobody to accost. And pretty much all I had in there was a million dong. Oh, that's the other thing about Vietnam. The monetary unit is called the dong, which, of course, lends for endless jokes. But a million dong is about 50 bucks. So I lost about 50 bucks, my driver's license, a couple of credit cards, and a really cool wallet. But when it was all over, you just had to keep going. And so there's nothing else they could take from me, so I wasn't too worried about it. And we powered our way through, and we got to Fanny's, and we enjoyed that 14-scoop fondue ice cream platter more than I can say. So if you find yourselves in Vietnam, and I highly recommend it, keep a hand on your wallet, don't worry about the motorbikes, and definitely go for the ice cream platter.
Thank you, Tom. Isn't it so nice we can be here in this warm and intimate environment thinking about these exotic lands? Thank you for bringing this exotic lands to us. It's wonderful to think about all the different things. We're not having to worry about pickpockets here. I'm glad about that. But I would like to see a 14-scoop option at the local ice cream place.